This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark, Sharitz Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. Now, it is 7:36 in the morning, and in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where Xiaoning, you'll be speaking to Ian Shapiro. He's the chief executive of something called Real. That's spelt with two L's.
Yes, Real is a UK social enterprise trying to resolve urban poverty issues by facilitating affordable housing, which is an issue we are facing in Malaysia too.
Excellent stuff. And that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned. Now, we're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, because DBKL is scrapping public hearings for projects approved under the KL Development Plan 2020 and 2040. So we're asking you if you participate in public hearings. You can vote yes or no, and you can please tell us why. Now, in international news, analysts are saying that the inclusion of China A shares into global indexes could help spur foreign capital flows, potentially fueling a market recovery in China. And the FTSE Russell said on Saturday that it would add nearly 1,100 Chinese A shares to its global benchmarks from June 21st.
Yeah, so the inclusion marks their first step to incorporating the A share market and will be implemented in a phased in manner. So according to FTSE Russell, once the inclusion is completed, we will see A share markets representing about 5.5% of the FTSE emerging index, and it'll draw an expected net about $10 billion from passive investors.
Now, trade tensions between China and the US have, of course, affected Chinese stock markets and the yuan, sapping foreign appetite for Chinese assets in the recent weeks. But FTSE Russell is going ahead with its plans. It's also considering adding China onshore bonds into its global indices, a decision which will be made in September. Now, FTSE is not the only index player in town that has added China to its indices. MSCI added A shares to its global benchmark from June last year. And actually, they are doubling their weighting of A shares in its indexes after the market closed yesterday, and that may bring in another $3.8 billion worth of passively managed funds into China. Now, till Monday, a net total of 54.7 billion yuan, which is about 8 billion ringgit, flowed out of A-share markets as a result of these trade tensions.
Now, when we hear the FTSE Russell, right, we think of the latest, the other news about the FTSE Russell, specifically in regard to Malaysia and the fact that we may be dropped from their global bond index. So what is this news about China going to mean for us here in Malaysia?
Usually it means that there'll be less waiting for us, smaller markets. It's hard to ignore China as a capital market, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so huge. So over time, when these index players or these people like, well, these companies like FTSE and also MSCI, they recalibrate their global indices usually on a semi-annual basis. And what they look is at the size of capital markets. They also look at volumes traded. They try to reflect indexes. Let's say if it's a global equity index, they try to reflect how global trade is really like. So they look at US, they look at Europe, sure, they look at Asia. So as a result, as Malaysia, our market capitalization unfortunately shrinks, our importance or our weight in that index normally also shrinks similarly.
So this actually gives a better picture of how the global market is doing, isn't it? I mean, once you include China, because China is a big market on its own. And so in that sense, is it better for us to, you know, would it be better for investors to be able to read the, you know, just the global market in general? And again, would it be difficult for Malaysian investors to relate to it once China has been included?
The indexes, once again, are usually just followed very much by passive investors. It doesn't mean that as an active investor, just because Malaysia's weight is reduced or increased, that would mean that you would sell or buy the stock. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to deny in investing today, there is this whole new asset class or whole type of investing, which is the exchange-traded funds, which, yes, are very passive. And in the last 20 years, that has grown tremendously. Now, these passive funds tend to follow indices very closely. They have this thing called tracking error, and they want to minimize tracking error. So unfortunately, in Malaysia's case, when our weights go down or are completely removed, which is the potential for this world global index, then you do see outflow from Malaysia.
And that is a wonderfully optimistic outlook for Malaysia's bond market. But, you know, in other international news as well today, less than 2 years after winning a landslide election, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's party is considering an early vote before the economy takes a hit from a planned sales tax hike in October. And Abe will become the country's longest-serving prime minister in November. He's won some breathing space to decide on when he will dissolve the lower house. So when President Donald Trump on Monday said that a contentious trade deal could wait until after Japan holds the upper house elections in July, the current lower house term is until or before October 2021.
So Abe's top lieutenants in his ruling Liberal Democratic Party, they've hinted at the possibility of what is billed as a double election. Secretary General Toshihiro Nikai said last week, the scent of such a vote was in the air. And this week, the LDP's election strategy chief, Akira Amari, she tried to dismiss the speculation without ruling it out, saying there was a 99% likelihood that it won't happen.
Now, Bloomberg reports that the retaining ruling coalition's majority in both bodies for at least 3 years would help it survive a planned increase in the unpopular sales tax from 8 to 10%. Now, the government has done it twice since it was introduced in 1989, and both times an economic slide was seen that led to political revolts. Now, typically what we have seen in Japanese consumptions is that every time there's a sales tax increase, just like in our case when we had GST implemented, consumption did drop. And we have to remember the Japanese economy is very fragile. Inflation is near zero. Getting its own population to consume and spend has been really difficult. So this implementation of a sales tax is seen as a negative one.
Now, speaking of Malaysia's relations to this, now Japan, our Prime Minister, our Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, is going to be making a three-day working visit to Tokyo today to attend the 25th International Conference on the Future of Asia. And Tun Mahathir will be delivering a keynote address at the opening of the conference tomorrow. And Wisma Putra has said that he's expected to touch on the ever-changing dynamics of the international order and how new technologies will shape the future outlook. Now, the conference has been hosted by the Nikkei annually since 1995. And this year's theme is Seeking a New Global Order, Overcoming the Chaos.
So Tun will be scheduled to meet Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on Friday for a bilateral meeting. At the same time, Wisma Putra said that he will also be receiving courtesy calls from other leaders attending the conference. Apart from that conference, Tun will also be attending the Malaysia-Japan Business Dialogue, which is jointly organised by the Malaysian Investment Development Authority, or MIDA, and Japan External. This visit is expected to further enhance the existing multi-layered strong ties and bonds between Japan and Malaysia under the Look East policy.
Now, Japan remains one of our largest trading partners. It's actually our fourth largest global trading partner. In 2018, we had a total of 132 billion worth of trade. And for Japan, Malaysia is its 14th largest global trading partner and fifth among ASEAN countries. Now, Japan has, Tun M and Japan have had extremely long ties going back to the 1980s. Remember, the first Proton was actually a Mitsubishi, right?
Yeah.
And Japan was the first country he visited when he became prime minister for the second time. And, you know, this Nikkei conference, it's his 21st visit, okay? So Japan is close to his heart. Mm. Now, what is interesting is also that we have reached out to the Japanese for funding.
There you go.
Because they are currently offering very attractive shogun bond terms, right? As we all know, we are facing quite a huge government debt, and we are looking to refinance it, and shogun bonds look attractive. So I'm not surprised Mahathir M is in Japan at this current moment.
Tun M has also shown a lot of admiration for the Japanese cultures and whether we can integrate this kind of working habits into the Malaysian societies. Now, we're coming up on a break, so we're going to be taking a look at a couple of messages, and we're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio, and we're asking if you participate in public hearings, because DBKL is scrapping public hearings for projects approved under the KL Development Plan 2020 and 2040. Tell us if you do participate in them and tell us why. You've got about 15 minutes left to vote on the poll, so please do get in there and tell us what you think. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.